Welcome to The Gathering Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Varberg, and this podcast is all about experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promised. We do this through stories, teachings, and testimonies about God's unyielding faithfulness. Today, we've got a special treat for you as I interview our very own Phil Garcia, who's faithfully been serving behind the scenes and as a shepherd at The Gathering for many years. Get ready to dive into Phil's incredible journey, from growing up in the church and just going through the motions, to having his faith ignited by a college roommate who actually lived out what it meant to be a Christian. Then we talk about how he's experienced God through genuine Christian community, and we hear a little bit about the home gathering he's starting amongst his neighbors. So we hope Phil's story encourages you today. Enjoy. Well, Phil, I'm real excited for this one. I think I mentioned when I first brought it up to you that you were on our list for a while. Alana and I had a list of who we're going to interview, and it was like every time we were like, oh yes, Phil, he's going to be a good one. And then for whatever reason, it was like maybe Aaron was going to interview you, or there was something that came up. And I don't think you even ever got the memo. You were just over living your life. But I'm just letting you know, the podcast team was over here thinking, man, we're excited to talk to Phil. So I'm excited we finally got you in here. And as we've relaunched the podcast recently, I'm looking forward to this one. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. So I did hear that I was maybe on that list, and I was trying to make every effort to avoid you guys. I don't consider myself a great communicator and maybe not the most exciting person, but yeah, I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hearing some of your story and what God's puts on your heart or has put on your heart. I'm excited for what we have today. So to kind of introduce people, Phil Garcia, what would you say if you sat down at lunch outside with a new family or new church member and they just ask, hey, who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? Just the basic, maybe a 30-second, 1-2-minute kind of summary. Who is Phil Garcia?
Yeah. So I am a San Diego native, born and raised here. Left for a few years to go to school. So that was actually in Fresno, California. Fresno is not the most exciting place to live.
Exciting.
So, you know, once I graduated, I knew I was coming back home. But yeah, you probably met my wife, Celeste. I've got two little ones, Amelia and Owen. And we've been attending The Gathering, I would say maybe a couple months after it launched in Forest Ranch.
Yeah. So currently we're in Mira Mesa, and we had merged with Grace Chapel, and that's why we have a building now. But when you started up in Forest Ranch, what was the name of the school again? I always forget.
Yeah. So it was called Monterey Ridge, or it is called Monterey Ridge. And believe it or not, that's actually where my kids go to school. So it was, and we could probably get into that later, but that is literally across the street from our house.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went to your house and I had no idea. And I was like, wait a second. I like typed in your address on the GPS and I'm driving and I'm like, oh, this is the same street that the church is on. And then I like made a left and I was like, ah, it's right here. So I had like that little moment of like, I think I typed in the wrong address. I'm going to church and not to Phil's house. So yeah. So native San Diego, two kids, your wife. And I know more of what you do because whenever I've had some muscle pain or kink in my neck, I've asked you for some little free tips on PT.
So. Yeah. So I've been a physical therapist here, actually in Rancho Bernardo for the past going on 18 years now. Wow. So time flies. Been with Scripps my entire career, and it really has been just a big blessing in our lives. It's close. It just provides me a great work-life balance, and I love what I do. So, anytime I could help people outside of work with any sort of physical ailments or questions or concerns, feel free to ask, and hopefully I have a good answer for you.
Yeah. And I guess for finding out about the gathering at your kid's school, what was kind of your faith story before that, or your family's?
Yeah.
What's a bit about that background and where you're, I guess, if you were taking your spiritual temperature pre the gathering, how would you kind of explain that journey?
Yeah. You know, growing up in a Filipino family, I would say the Catholic faith is probably what most Filipinos practice. For me, you know, we went and attended every Sunday, but I don't think I ever really understood the foundational principles of Christianity. You know, I think it was there that there was definitely a planning of the fear of God, but I went through the motions. I don't feel like I ever grew. And so, yeah, that's kind of my upbringing. When I was in graduate school, it was there that I actually had a roommate who was Christian. And so he sort of questioned what I was doing. And we had these conversations about faith, and it was through me seeing how he lived his life and, you know, how he spent his free time that I started to understand I didn't have that. And that was kind of the realization that I don't know if I'm actually saved.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what were some of those differences you noticed? Because obviously we connect on the fact that I grew up in the Philippines and I experienced a lot of my friends having that similar background. And I know from my experience, a lot of it was more of works and culture and things that you did. And I've noticed as I've grown in my faith, it's been more the relationship piece and actually having something of substance, knowing my Lord and Savior. I guess for you, when you saw that roommate, what were some of the things that you're like, ah, that's different?
Yeah.
And I guess what triggered the, like, I want that?
Yeah. So Jeremiah was a true servant of the Lord. I mean, you know, despite crazy workload in terms of just what we were going through in terms of school, he always made time to check in on people out in the community. He was plugged in with, you know, different, I don't know if it was really missions or programs, but he was somehow able,
ministry type opportunities.
Yeah. He would always go and help old ladies with certain things. Wow. And, you know, so it was just seeing that firsthand, the way he treated his girlfriend at the time and now who is now his wife, but it was just, it was different. It was, yeah. So, living with Jeremiah for 2 years really gave me a sense of what that true, walking with the Lord looks like.
Got it. And then obviously you met Celeste, got married. What kind of changed in that journey? Moving forward, was that something that you were like, oh, let me seek, and you felt like you were in a healthy place? Was that a temporary, like, that's interesting, and then you kind of fell back into the distractions of the world, or how did life move on after that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, within 3 years that I was in grad school, Celeste would come up and visit. She knew about what I was engaging in with Jeremiah and how sort of he questioned my faith. We started doing Bible studies at her house.
Cool.
with other classmates, and you know, got her to really participate.
Wow.
And it was really through that we really came to understand more about our faith together. So fast forward 3 years later, coming back home, Celeste and I started to attend a Christian church and really start to understand more about what that looks like, what that faith truly is. And it's been great ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So kind of growing up, you always had an understanding about God and the Bible, but it was very much just actions and rules, I guess. And it wasn't till living with Jeremiah that you saw, wow, this person lives differently. There's something unique about his character and what he does with his life. And you started pursuing that. And then again, I guess what shifted, because I know in your story, there was something when you just kind of stumbled upon the gathering that you were like, oh, this is new. And it felt like you took another step further. What do you think was different there?
Yeah. So for years, we attended more larger churches. And, you know, after finding the gathering across the street from our house, we started to recognize that community is just such a big part of your faith journey. Getting plugged in, getting to know people, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, and really living that life with them made the hugest difference.
Got it. So the big difference was the community aspect and actually doing stuff with people outside of just attending a service on a Sunday.
Right. You know, for a while there, we did attend small groups, and actually, that's how we met Kim and Miguel, and we were a part of this small group for years. But it really, you know, it wasn't until both families attending the gathering is where we really developed that relationship a little bit more, and then it expanded to, you know, really getting to know so many other people, and that was the biggest difference from my upbringing growing up in the church. I always lacked that community. Mm. Yeah.
Got it. And then I know when the gathering launched, kind of our idea of the home gatherings and having something outside of a Sunday, kind of a midweek at home, sit down, eat dinner. Didn't you guys, when it got kicked off, were you guys hosting right away or were you just attending? How did that start? Because I think Aaron and Alana were the ones leading that group initially.
Right. So even prior to that, with our history with Kim and Miguel, you know, we decided to kind of restart that on our own before the full-fledged home gatherings launched. So Miguel was actually leading, taking the lead with that, and we would meet on a weekly basis. And I think that's, you know, where we really grew closer together. And then I would say maybe a year or so. Oh, that's right. Mateo was born.
Yeah.
And so, you know, their time was needed to be spent doing other things, rightfully so. And that's where, yes, we got connected with Aaron and Alana, and that really became the home gathering, and we did host at our house.
That's cool. Got it. So when that launched, because I remember that whole journey, and George had a vision, and he kind of invested in a lot of leaders and tried to do church as close as what we see in Acts as possible, try to escape the modern cultural things of how we define church and kind of get back to that. So I remember when we first started, I think it was maybe 2019 with the home gatherings, it was like, you come, you sit down, you have a meal, you have communion, and then it wasn't come listen to a teacher who's prepared some kind of study. It was read in advance what the chapter or section that everyone was reading that week and discuss. So it was kind of this, how can we grow in our ability to understand the Bible for ourselves? So I guess for you, getting into that, what were some of the big growth points in your life or in your family, or how did you feel like God really worked in your heart in that season, Phil?
I think it was the realization that, yes, church is not just what occurs on Sunday. It's throughout the week. It's being in community. And I think it was really through that home gathering that really those covenant relationships were developed. You know, we did life together, and we continue to do that. Granted, it's changed a bit with just dynamics and not being in that same group anymore, but those relationships have been set, and you know, those have been just so life-giving.
And I want to kind of get an example, because I feel like when people, especially outside of the church, or people who haven't really experienced what God designed kind of a church community to be like. Because I know just a couple weeks ago, George had a sermon about the word church comes from, I think, a German word that had reference to a building. So a lot of our understanding modern days is that word is much more associated to church, but the Greek of what we'd see in Acts and what Jesus would have talked about as the church was much more closer to a gathering. So you used community, you used covenant relationships, you know, for someone that maybe hasn't really experienced that, what's like an example, I guess, maybe of a time that someone needed the community, or how do you feel like that functioned? Maybe a story or an example of how maybe someone was in need and people came together, or maybe you were processing something difficult and you had someone that you could be vulnerable with. Like what would you say is maybe an example or two of what community looked like lived out?
I know we actually had an opportunity, you know, when we were, as the church was doing Serve First Sundays, there was an opportunity from a member of our home gathering, and you know, they needed some help with some serious yard work and just getting their house ready. You know, we were able to get together and make that happen and serve, you know, our friend.
Because yeah, I know personally, mm-hmm. I've had a lot of changes in roommates and living situations to where some of my closer kind of brothers or community had dispersed in the last recent years. And mm-hmm. just in the last couple months, I kind of started talking to some of the guys I was hanging out with, expressing like, hey, I need this guys night is what we call it now. Yeah. And now we have a group of guys, some single, some married, some with kids. And we get together and it's just a chance for us to have that sort of church, that Christian community in a way that we all felt we were lacking. You know, we had different groups and we had Sundays, but as a way that we as men could be vulnerable about what we were struggling with. And that's a more recent thing in my life. And just a week or two ago, I had some big shifts in my personal life, a lot of emotional changes. And I was just like sent a text out, like, hey guys, pray for this. I'm struggling with this. Can you hold me accountable to this? And I think within a week I'd had one-on-one kind of coffee, dinner, or hangouts with three of the guys in the group. And I remember partway through that week being like, wow, like that's just what the doctor ordered. Like I was in a isolated state personally. I was struggling with temptation and emotions. And, you know, I think there's so many things like I could just distract and avoid. But then I had this church, this gathering, this community that wasn't Sunday, just these guys that I reached out to and they stepped up. So obviously yeah. In your example, it was like a personal physical need of yard work, which with the stressors of the world, that stuff piles up. I personally struggle with that, but yeah, I don't know if that helps you think of other examples.
Well, actually, yeah, something comes to mind. We, you know, we have a single mom, as a participant in our home gathering, and she needed help on a weekly basis to, you know, watch her daughter, after her daycare. You know, she worked late and she needed somebody to help her on a weekly basis. And, you know, it was an easy thing to just say, yeah, you know, we're going to do it because you need help. And that's what we're here for. And I think, you know, being a part of this family of believers, yeah. You know, that's what we're called to do, is really serve one another.
Yeah. Cause I think the example, obviously we see biblically in Acts chapter 2, that last section, like 42 through 47, there's a lot in there about the community and how they met. But verses 44 and 45 say, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all who had need. And that kind of idea, again, it looked a certain way, selling possessions, distributing to need. It looks different in different communities, but this concept of family that extends racial, political, you know, blood type, genetic bounds, that we are a family in Christ. And that sounds like what was unique for you being a part of that community. So for people that maybe have not experienced that, is that what you would kind of explain it as, like a family, someone you can rely on, people or community that could you could lean on?
Definitely. You know, growing up in San Diego, you know, I felt like I had more than enough friends or more than enough acquaintances to really, you know, they kept my schedule pretty busy. And it wasn't really up until I started letting other people into my life, more so believers, because the majority of the people that I had relationships were with non-believers. And so this was definitely a new thing for me. And, you know, it took some time for me to really kind of just open up. I do think what we do after service with the sharing the meals really allows us to be vulnerable with each other. Yeah. That was probably where a lot of these relationships start, is through the sharing of the meal and through talking about the message. So, you know, I was always sort of hesitant in the beginning. Oh, you know, service is done. Let's go home.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that that's just been a part of what we do. We stick around, you know, to the point sometimes we're, you know, we're kind of the last people here sometimes. So it's just been such a shift.
Yeah. That's so powerful. Cause yeah, it's, I think natural as humans, we have this, got to protect myself, can't be vulnerable, you know, kind of hold things close to our heart. And one thing I love about this church is because it's a weekly option to stay after, you can mess it up 3-4 weeks in a row. Or, you know, I've had seasons of my life where I've done a lot of travel and it's like, I feel really disconnected. But then when I'm here, you know, if I just kind of one Sunday decide, you know what, I'm going to stick around and I'm going to connect with some people, it's always an option, right? It's not something where people just disperse and leave, but it's always accessible if you're willing to be vulnerable. So yeah, for you, it was that decision personally over time.
Yes.
You're like, hey, I'm going to open up to these people. I'm going to actually talk about what's really going on. That's what shifted your faith in a new way.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think what we do after service is just, it's so special that I think everyone really should take advantage of that, you know, that true fellowship and you know, making those connections, because life is busy and there's always an excuse, right?
So, yeah.
You know, staying a little bit longer and, you know, sitting with somebody new, right? Where George and, you know, always asks us to do that. But yeah, it really makes a difference.
Yeah. And it sounds like the type of conversation and actually being real with people makes a big difference too.
Yes.
So I guess on that point, I know we have a lot of, just recently, I think in the past year, since merging with Grace Chapel and since, you know, COVID kind of wore off, and I feel like we've got a lot more people that just see the church, drive by, attend, show up on a Sunday. For those that are listening that maybe have come a couple times or maybe have been coming to the gathering, but they don't feel like they've got that family or that community, like what advice would you give them? I know you talked a bit about lunch and staying after, but what would you encourage them if someone's saying, you know what, Phil, that sounds really special, what you and your family have experienced here. I want some of that. What would you encourage them?
I would definitely say getting plugged into a home gathering would be on the top of that list. You know, I think that's where, you know, the true relationships are formed. You know, I joke around with our friends in our group is, you know, we barely talk on a Sunday because we see each other throughout the week. And yeah. We try to be more intentional in talking with new people, making sure that they feel a sense of belonging here. So, we all need to, I think it helps to kind of be open and really be hospitable. But, getting plugged into a home gathering would really be on the top of the list. And then, of course, all the other things that the gathering has now with Man Monday, a lot of the classes rolling out. I'm
excited for those.
Yeah, yeah. I think it really speaks to, people with kind of where they're at, I struggled with going to Man Monday for a while, I was intimidated. And this was back when it was at George's house. And,
yeah.
I thought, wow, never been to the pastor's house. And through those, small groups that you form after George's teachings, you start to realize we all need this, know? And it was really just a place to open up and be vulnerable, especially as guys. I mean, it's hard for us.
Yeah. It's like we have so much responsibility all the time. And I feel like my natural response when things are going wrong is I've got to fix this. And it's almost like I don't have time for my personal needs or how I feel because I'm trying to solve a problem. It's like a task-oriented, goal-focused idea. And you make a lifestyle of that. And it's just not healthy. And what I've loved about things like Man Monday, and like you said, the opportunities I've had to form community here, like even this past week with the group I'm a part of now, we had a discussion and we were just going around sharing, and I felt like I'd talked a lot because people brought up concepts and I was like answering questions and encouraging people. And then someone at the end, we were like over time and we're trying to go, and someone was like, "How are you doing though, Peter?" I was like, "No, I've talked plenty." And I was like, "Why is he calling me out right now?" And then I realized I hadn't shared anything about what was actually going on in my life. I had made comments in the discussion, but that really hit me of like, oh, this person cares about like how my heart is and how I'm doing in my life. And it was like a really interesting shift. Where it was easy for me to answer questions and discuss ideas and topics. And then oh, I've got to talk about me now.
And those things don't happen overnight, right? No. Being that comfortable with somebody doesn't happen overnight. And I think it's through those weekly home gatherings that you really start to be a part of their life and understand the ins and outs of, what they're going through on a deeper level.
Yeah. And you mentioned covenant relationships earlier. Obviously, to get out of the Christianese of covenant, it's just, a commitment that's greater, a bond, So it's this idea that it takes time, like you said, and I love that in your story, Phil, is that like every time you talk about something that was helpful, you kind of go back and you're like, but the first couple Sundays, I just wanted to go home. And then you're like, but yeah, that was really uncomfortable. The first couple Man Mondays, I was like, why am I at the pastor's house? So it's cool, a testament of your consistency that to encourage those, it's not automatic. It wasn't natural for you.
Yeah, definitely not. No, I mean, I still struggle with putting myself out there. Sometimes I feel like I probably am better. I'm a type of person that's better in the background. But yes, definitely opening up and learning more about people's needs, learning about their stories. It's so helpful in walking alongside them.
Yeah. I guess for you, what helped overcome that? I feel like when I talk to just over the years, different Christians, it's like they go to a church and they're like, oh yeah, no one said hi to me. I'm never going back there again. It's like one shot. And I know George really wants us to be the friendliest church. And that's why we do those silly questions during church and we stay after and have lunch. But I guess for those that maybe have really struggled with that, or maybe they've been going to gathering for a while, but they don't feel known, or they don't like, it's still awkward. Or, because like you said, you still struggle with it now.
Yeah.
Any encouragement for those folks?
Well, you know, I have a pretty social wife in Celeste, and so she's probably the biggest encouragement for us to stay and chat. But I do think it is a two-way street. You can't just, you know, sit back and expect people to walk up and talk to you. So you do have to put yourself out there. And I think the more you practice that, and we do that every Sunday, I think the more natural it gets, you know, and then as those connections just, you know, unfold. Coming on a Sunday, it's never a chore. You know, it's just so fun to see friends, see family, and of course, get a great message in. But, you know, part of it is really opening yourself up and being stretched, because so many great things come out of that.
So yeah, it sounds like zooming out on your story, right? God initially was just something that you interacted with through works and attendance at a church. Then Jeremiah, right, was your roommate. Yeah. Jeremiah showed you, wow, there's a life to this. Like, he lives differently, and I want that. And you started doing Bible study and community and through the gathering and home gatherings and staying after at lunch. It never necessarily has been easy or natural for you, but through that commitment to show up and put yourself out there and actually be vulnerable, you've experienced God in a different way, not him in a service or him in the book of the Bible, but him through people.
Yeah, definitely. It's through other believers and you know, serving one another, loving on one another, you know, going through hard times with one another, is really, I think, what community has really been for me. Mm.
So I guess if someone was asking you about your faith now and how you've experienced the Lord or how he has impacted your life, would people and their role in your life be a big part of that? Or how would you explain that to someone that's like, how do you know God's real? Or like, this seems like a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Like, what is this, you know, can't see or touch this all-knowing being? How has he become real to you, Phil?
You know, I think with some of those questions we have, being in community, we could really bounce off those same questions to our brothers and sisters. Mm. And I think they really become that resource that really helps us grow. You know, we talk a lot about discipleship and helping those that we might not be theologians or, you know, be well-versed in the Bible, but as long as we can be maybe that one step above and really minister to somebody that might have those questions. Mm. I think that's where this community has really made a huge impact.
Yeah, so it's almost like when you have a need, God has met that through the community, and that helps. I know for me personally, it's almost like that's part of how I experience God, you know, and I see that he's real, is like, I have something going on, I didn't tell anybody, and all of a sudden this person at church is like asking me this question, and I'm like, I see what you're doing here, God. You know, he's not physically like the incarnate Jesus anymore in this world, but it's like, I remember there was a time with Aaron where I was like in a really rough spot. This was back at Monterey Ridge, and it was like my birthday week or something, and I was stressed out. I didn't even like want to plan a birthday. I was like, so much going on. And then he just like came up and was like, how are you doing? And he's like, we should get together. He's like, what are you doing Tuesday? And I was like, well, that's actually my birthday. And I was like stressed. I felt awkward because I'm like, oh, I don't want, this is going to be weird. Like, cause he's just trying to hang out with me. And it turned into him and Alana having me over for dinner. And like, he like baked some special cake. And it was like this exactly what, and I was like, God, wow. Like I was wanting to escape, you know, and I was just sneaking out, finished my lunch. And he was like, hey, Peter. And it was like, I mean, it's almost like it wasn't Aaron in that moment. It was like God showing up, and being in him and through him. And that's how I feel like community becomes real. Yeah. And it sounds like that's what you've continued to experience is God showing up through others.
Yeah. You know, I think back on the early days of us going to the gathering, there was definitely a sense of being an outsider. And, you know, it took us a while to feel a lot more comfortable. And I look back on that because, you know, now we see so many new faces here that I think, you know, it forces me to be a little bit more intentional in yeah. you know, really making people feel welcomed, because it is easy to sit with the same people every oh, yeah. Sunday. And
I'm
yeah,
guilty.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of that. But I think after today, there's going to have to be more of an intentionality behind that.
Yeah.
Now
you're
said
held
something.
Accountable. You said something publicly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I think like the biggest areas of growth in my social life has been when I've realized like, oh, I'm feeling nervous about talking to someone, and realize these other people are also nervous about talking to me. So I feel like when you actually reflect on how you felt when you started coming here and felt like an outsider, that's kind of gives you the courage now to like do the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even though Celeste will keep talking and do some of that for you. But
oh, yeah.
you're like, okay, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone and actually step out today.
Yes.
That's a great encouragement for all of us, you know, because I know we can all fall into the comfort zone. And just to recognize that there are people here at lunch that they're just trying this thing out. And who knows what their background is, their faith situation, and you might be the person that talks to them where they go like, oh, wow, I felt really like you said earlier, a sense of belonging and that family.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess with other things God's put on your heart in this season, kind of preparing for this podcast, Phil, any other aspects of community or your faith that you feel like God's revealed to you recently, or other things on your mind that you wanted to be sure that you could share with others today?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a lot about home gathering. You know, we've kind of come to this season where we wanted to really speak to our neighbors with the hopes of really forming something within that. And so that's kind of been a big part of our focus now, was stepping down from shepherding our old group, which is now Phil and Marty's group. They're taking the lead and shepherding that. So, you know, we've been a part of this, I guess, neighborhood for so many years with kids and their friends, and really forming relationships with different families in our neighborhood. We're at a place where we feel that we could make an impact and wow. really share our faith yeah. that way. So, you know, we're kind of definitely in the infancy stages of
that's cool.
of doing things. You know, we've met, you know, a handful of times, and I think it's new for a lot of people, but it's really stretching us to share our faith and sort of evangelize, you know?
Wow.
So I remember years ago, this was back in Monterey Ridge, George had a series called Disciple Shift. And, you know, part of what I remember taking away from that was bringing other people into your life and really just not shoving your faith down their throat, but really showing them how you live.
Yeah.
And sort of modeling Christ's love, right? And so, you know, that really spoke to me with our neighbors, because we do spend so much time with them with, you know, outside activities, sports, wow. you know, things of that nature. So it's really, you know, given us an opportunity to form this. Hope it continues to flourish.
That's cool. Yeah. So, I mean, just from hearing your story earlier, it's like you're doing what Jeremiah did, where you were roommates and you just watched how he lived, and that's what brought you closer to God. And now yeah. with your neighbors, you're inviting them in to see how your life is different, and not shoving Jesus down their throat or knowing the Roman road or some kind of
yeah,
evangelistic
wow.
message.
I never actually, I never picked up on that.
It's cool. You know, it's like God's, I think that's a more powerful way to do it, Phil.
Mm.
You know, on this topic of gathering in church, it's like a lot of what my parents do for ministry in the Philippines, like certain cultural aspects or family, like if you got caught, and I use that word intentionally, going to a Protestant church is how they would talk about it there. Like someone, some tita would tell and the chismis, and then someone would find out and your parents would be mad. Like, why are you going to that church? Why didn't you go to our church? Right. And there was this pressure culturally. So the primary evangelical tool that my dad's use in his season as a missionary is just inviting people over for merienda or dessert, right? And have a discussion. And people will come over to a neighbor's house and eat food and watch a video or talk about the Bible. Easy. They know about the Bible. They believe in God, but they don't really have an understanding of who God is. So he's built his whole ministry on that concept of what you're attempting to do with your neighborhood. So I just encourage you that there's so many people that wouldn't necessarily set foot in a church that, again, we define church by a building and, you know, tithes and all this stuff, you know, and what God designed it to be is a gathering or a family of believers centered around him. So I love that you're kind of taking that out and living into that calling with your neighbors. That's cool.
Thank you.
I guess any final words of encouragement or challenge? Because I just think it's such a cool story of how you've kind of developed in your faith and God's used others and community to be such a big part of your life. And now you're feeling called to step out into something uncomfortable where you could just sit with that group of friends that you've been a part of a home gathering forever. But now you're inviting neighbors and stepping out there. Any other thoughts or encouragements to wrap this up today?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone really wants to be uncomfortable, but I think it's through that uncomfortability that we see the most growth. And I would, really just encourage anyone listening to put yourself out there and really meet other believers in a deeper way. You know, I think it's easy for us on a Sunday after church, you know, eating Rubicon to just go real superficial.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said in really getting vulnerable and opening yourself up. Cause I think that's where the stuff really happens, you know?
Mm, I love that.
Yeah.
I need that too. Sometimes I'm so busy on a Sunday fixing some tech issue or running around that, you know, I don't even sit down to have lunch. And every time that I do, it's always a beautiful experience when I actually listen to whatever the question George is like, hey, you should ask people at the table this, and actually do it. Those have been always memorable and meaningful conversations. So thanks, Phil, for, I know you've been avoiding us for a while.
Yeah, you finally caught
and
me.
Finally getting on here and just sharing your story of how God has became real through community. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.